Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Kevin O'Leary, Jesse Waters, and she pole vaults with a Q-tip, Dana Perino, The Five.
Extremists and far-left agitators are terrorizing college campuses, as you possibly noticed, and Biden's nowhere to be found. He hasn't said anything.
Donald Trump sounding off as universities crack down on anti-Israel agitators nationwide. Hundreds of NYPD entering Hamilton Hall at Columbia, clearing out the encampment and arresting hundreds of the radicalized Hamas youth who took over the building by force. Over in Cali, it was the gangs of UCLA, pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian protesters throwing punches and using sticks to beat the crap out of one another as others shot off fireworks. But despite the enforcement, Hamas University continues to launch new satellite campuses. Students at Fordham in New York set up tents today in the lobby. Mayor Eric Adams is blaming outside agitators for the chaos and claiming there's a movement to radicalize the youth.
There is a movement to radicalize young people, and I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it. This is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children. We saw that there were those who were never concerned about free speech. They were concerned about chaos. Don't take over our buildings and put another flag up. It's despicable that schools will allow another country flag to fly in our country.
Well said. Cops arresting over 300 alone in New York. But since it's a liberal city, the agitators were bragging about how Bragg would let them out.
What will you guys do when the police come right in here and, you know, end up maybe handcuffing people and arresting them?
We'll do what we always done. We'll get arrested, just like the criminals in the subway. They're always right back out in 24 hours.
At least you get fed while locked up. Students who were waging revolution at Columbia complaining that they were starving.
I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation? It's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for.
Clearly, she's never missed a meal. Jesse, the mayor saying clearly professionals are behind this. And we've said this before. You see the well-produced signs, the brand new tents. There's a larger sponsor in this. Why hasn't the media even asked, like, Alex Soros, like, why haven't you threatened to cut off funding to any of the groups that are involved in this campus stuff? And how the media won't look into that, but they want to know the identities of the counter-protesters, but not who's behind the protests.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Mini Soros is definitely sponsoring this financially. Chris Wray at the FBI says they don't even monitor protests. Do you even believe that? Of course they monitor protests. They monitor like a half a dozen MAGA hat wearers. The history of protest is not like what we're seeing now. They used to protest apartheid, Vietnam, the Iraq war. They were directing their anger at the government. Now they're directing their anger at fellow students. They're intimidating them. They're harassing them. They're targeting them. Sometimes in UCLA, they're not even allowed to walk freely on campus. And now they're beating the pulp out of some people. If you're smart and if you're the Biden administration, you just slash funding because this is a Title IX violation. This is a civil rights violation. They're discriminating against a religious minority, and that's how you cut it down. Biden came out after 3 days of hiding, and he says we're going to import more Hamas refugees. And then he says we're going to pay off everybody's student loans. It's like he wants to lose the election. The police came out last night and says there are outside agitators who are known to law enforcement that have infiltrated this movement, and they're training students on how to take de-arrest tactics, on how to barricade themselves in. And for the woman that wants food, typical Hamas, right? You attack and then you demand catering. This is what they're doing. I'm sick of it. I'm saddened by it. I've never seen anything like this before. And it's not just about Israel anymore. This is a Marxist volcano. It's now anti-American, anti-white, anti-capitalism, anti-man. And it's like every little grievance is all just coming out, and you just forget that it's actually over Israel. Mm-hmm. It's just they just hate everybody, and now they're looking for an opportunity to exploit it.
Judge, I love how the media is already distorting the response to the protest. They're complaining, why aren't the police protecting the protesters from the counter-protesters who act, and they said nothing while the protesters were escalating the physical confrontation by banning Jews from entering the campus like they were concentration camp guards.
Yeah, the commentary and the hypocrisy is amazing. What you've got here are you've got these protesters who understand the criminal justice system in this country. They understand that, like the people who commit crimes in New York, they'll be let out in no time. There will be no consequences. Alvin Bragg is too busy going after Donald Trump for a falsification of a business record to get involved in anything as significant as this. And this is significant, so significant that Joe Biden can't even comment about it. Mm-hmm. So significant that we don't even hear from the Department of Education, that is the one that is charged with enforcing and investigating Title VI violations. I haven't heard they're doing anything. And what happened at UCLA was very telling. We've seen vigilantism. We've seen it. We've seen people, when the law enforcement doesn't respond, people get involved. That's what happened in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. The Jewish people said, we've had enough of this. If they're not sending the cops to on campus, if the campus police aren't doing anything, we're going in ourselves. And do you expect Gavin Newsom to do anything? No. They took hours, 3 hours. They were beating each other up before they did anything. And this Manouk Shafiq in Colombia, she's got to go. Mm-hmm. And now I understand there's a class action, I'm very happy to report, by students who said they were prevented from going to class because they were Jewish. That is a lawsuit based on discrimination against Colombia, and I hope they win. And I have one more thing to say. You know, you're right, Jesse. This isn't about anti-Semitism anymore. It's about anti-Western values. It's about being anti-American. And right now, the polling confirms that. In the United States, the number is 38% of Americans are extremely proud to be American. That's scary.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, you know, what makes this different from all the other previous protests we keep hearing about is that you can see everything clearly.
Yeah.
How is this going to shape up for the futures of these bigots?
So student protests have been with us hundreds of years, and there's always the passion when you're young. What's different about this time is, for the first time ever, because you think about the protests in the 60s and 70s, they were shot on 16-millimeter film, very, very grainy, hard to get resolution, particularly at night. Not the case now. Everything being shot now is 1080p or 4K, even the surveillance cameras. Every single image, even at night now, goes into an AI generator and will tell you who that individual is. So I hire people. I have a lot of companies. I hire thousands of people. Within weeks, I'm going to be able, on when we're doing your background check, I'm going to find this because it's going to be in there on the dark web. Those are the services we buy. It's only $5,000 to do a deep, dark check.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your resume with a picture of you burning a flag. See that one? That goes in this pile over here, because I can get the same person's talent in this pile that's not burning anything.
Right.
I don't care what university or what you're burning or whose side you're on. You'll never know why you didn't get a mortgage. You'll never know why you didn't get into college. You'll never, in advanced education, you'll never know why you didn't get the job, because we see you now.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need is to have your eyes exposed with a new 4K image. And for the rest of your life, you're in this pile. So there's plenty of consequences for all those people. Even an image that far away, AI can generate who they are by the way the body moves. I can't believe the stuff I find in background checks now.
Mm-hmm.
These people are screwed.
Yeah.
What did Jesse say?
Yeah, thank God they didn't have background checks back when I was young.
Right under the wire.
Right. You know, Dana, you have these delusional protesters claiming that this situation is similar to Gaza.
Oh, it's so pitiful.
But maybe they're right, but they're on the wrong side here. They're just waiting for hang gliders.
They are. And also, the other thing they're asking for is amnesty on the job front.
Yeah.
They wanted to know that they would be protected and not be put on any pile.
Sure. And like, well, problem.
Yeah, like, yeah. But you'll never have to say if you are an employer. A couple of other things that Northwestern University apparently landed on this solution to give Muslim students their own segregated housing.
Oh.
So that's the goal?
Yes.
Segregated housing? I mean, I don't know how that fits with the law. And also, how does that fit with furthering America? And what does that do for any Palestinian student in Gaza? Also, Corinne Jean-Pierre was asked today why Biden hasn't said more about the protests. And she said he's monitoring the situation. And I think that's almost worse than a non-answer because he's seeing what's going on and choosing not to say anything. And again, deputy press secretaries are great. I was one. That's a great job. But that's definitely not the commander in chief. And I would just want to echo one other thing that Jesse said. The two things they were pushing this morning before newsroom got started, that they are talking about adding more Gazan refugees in America and more student debt relief.
Yeah.
For people that are going to schools like that. So read the room, guys.
Yeah. You can't expect him to read a room when he can't read a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm. Pause.
All right. Pause. Ahead. Dot, dot, dot. If you think these pro-Hamas college kids are bad, wait until Joe Biden dumps the, quote, real ones, quote, in your neighborhood, exclamation point.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
Think these pro-Hamas students are crazy? Just wait until Joe Biden dumps the real thing in your town. The Biden administration is considering welcoming certain Palestinians to the U.S. as refugees. Keep this in mind. Egypt and other Arab countries have been unwilling to take them in. Here is the White House today.
We are constantly evaluating policy proposals to further support Palestinians who are family members of American citizens and may want to come to the United States. So we're evaluating it. I don't have anything to announce at this time.
Biden's plan to take in Palestinian refugees is no doubt an appeasement to the squad. The merry band of radical lawmakers were outraged by the police crackdown on anti-Semitic students at Columbia. AOC was lobbing threats at Mayor Eric Adams, saying, quote, if any kid is hurt tonight, responsibility will fall on the mayor and university presidents. And her comrades are also seething.
These state-sanctioned violence, including the arrests and threatened felony prosecutions of students, can only be seen as an explicit effort to silence students and take away their First Amendment rights.
The anti-Semitism bill that Mike Lawler has a definition that is so broad that many of the Jewish groups like J Street and Nexus and others cannot support. So why would you do that, except if you want to weaponize anti-Semitism and you want to use it as a political ploy?
You know, Jesse, the biggest or one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest two issues in this country right now is immigration. And Joe Biden believes that the way to solve it is to bring in more Palestinians when their own, the people in Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Lebanon will not refuse, actually, to take them in.
Have you seen the polling on Palestinians? They support they support October 7th. They support 9/11. It's like a ticking time bomb. Of course, Joe Biden says, come on in. Now, Judge, if someone steals my car and they go on a joyride, I call 911 and I say, this is what the suspect looked like. This is what my car make and model is. This is the last date and time I saw the car. I don't call them and say, you know what, can you please not do any foot pursuits? Please don't have any high-speed chases. And when you pull the guy out of the car, if he resists arrest, just let him go. No, I want my car back. I don't try to tell the cop to de-escalate. Okay, these people are adults. They can vote. They can have abortions. They can have sex changes. They can drive. They can own homes. All of a sudden, they're saying, oh, no, they're snowflakes. They were arguing they weren't snowflakes. Now, all of a sudden, they just shape-shifted in January 6th into this building. They smashed windows. They had anarchists pile in through windows and hold hostages. They should be treated like adults, not snowflakes.
All right, Kevin, you're a money guy. Joe Biden is going to have to throw a lot of money in if he's going to bring these Palestinians in. And the truth is, we already know that the minority community, veterans in those towns where these illegals are being brought in, although these would be called refugees, the minorities are suffering. The veterans are suffering, subjugated to the illegals.
I think this pushes back up to the top three issues of the election, both border security and immigration policy. I mean, there's no question. This is like another throw a log on the fire on this issue, because in places like here in New York, you've seen what's happened with immigration forced on these counties or in cities or hotels. In other states as well, certainly San Francisco, southern states, Texas, they don't have the infrastructure to support all these people. Mm-hmm. You got to have that in place first before you bring anybody anywhere, because if you don't provide them a job, you don't provide them social services, and they have nowhere to live, they're not that happy, and bad things happen. And so why do that to yourself until you've figured out how to solve for the existing problems this country has right now and border security? I guarantee you this will be a top three election issue. Watch it happen. We're only months away. But this just adds fuel to that fire.
You know, Dana, we just heard Tlaib complain that arrests and threats of felony prosecution are efforts to silence them, these protesters, and take away their First Amendment rights. This woman is in Congress. Does she understand what the law is in this country?
Clearly not. Clearly not. I mean, the First Amendment is first for a reason, and it makes a lot of sense for that. But as soon as you cross the line into making sure that nobody else can go to class, then you have infringed on their First Amendment rights. So, no, she doesn't understand that at all. The other thing is, last night I got home in time to watch Bret Baier's panel. Ooh. And he's doing the news. He's about to ask a question. He goes, wait, this just in. Let me see if I can read this right. The CBS News reporting that the Biden administration is going to let in all the Gazan refugees.
Yep.
And he's like, let me read that again, because it was just like, honestly, today, this is the day that you're going to choose to say this. You never hear any of the protesters chant, free Palestinians from Hamas. Most Palestinians, yes, they believe all those things, but they also don't want to be governed by Hamas anymore. And I also would say this. I think that Joe Biden's decision-making and the slowness of it, and he hamstrung the Israelis from doing what they needed to do to get this done more quickly. That's the same thing that happened in Ukraine. So then it gets that much harder, and you're making them have to do everything much more slowly, so then these protests continue. This could have been taken care of before, but the administration was like, no, hold off. And the last thing I would say is the pro-Hamas folks are saying that they want protection here in America from... They don't want that to be infringed upon with their First Amendment rights. They don't want to go to jail. They don't want to be penalized. But they also want to be free to say to Jews, go back to Poland, while the Gazans get to come here.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Greg? In Axios today, there was an article that the Dems are internally in panic mode, because they know that bringing in the Gazans, and they know that the silence of the administration as they were yelling death to Jews and, you know, from the river to the sea is it's not just making the Jews angry. It's making Americans angry.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you might have real asylum seekers, but that doesn't matter. Because this country, I don't trust this country, and I don't mean Palestine, I mean America. We can't vet a paper bag. Look at our border. Right. And look at the asylum process, which has been corrupted. You know, it's amazing that we're actually saying the phrase pro-Hamas movement. Yeah. It is incredible. And when you talk about those phrases, almost everyone, I would say almost everybody, was revulsed by October 7th. But over time, forces, both seen and unseen, have diluted it and changed it so that you have pro-Hamas protests where Israel supporters are called genocidal. And if you want to see how October 7th was possible, and I think this is the unintended consequence of these protests, is that you're reminded of October 7th when you look at the faces of those protesters, their chants, the hate in their eyes. They're not raping or killing yet, but you look at it, you look at the blind ideological hate, and you go, you know what? Now I can see how this is possible. We've been told that there's a global infantata, and we see the professional signs and the tents, the multiple actions across the United States, highly organized and synchronized. When are the patient Jewish left-wingers going to speak out instead of sitting this out? You know, when Trump called out Jewish leaders, they claimed he was attacking them. But when protesters say kill the Jews or go back to the ovens, they never use the word attack. In fact, they rarely report it at all. Remember, if you said white lives matter, If you said white lives matter, you were called a white supremacist by the ADL. Yep. By the ADL. Yet if you say death to the Jews, death to the Zionists, there's no brown supremacy. No one's saying that. This is a very telling discrepancy, and it tells you that there's a larger force at play.
The interesting thing is that Biden's approval on the Gaza war is 28%, 71% disapproval. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Up next, he's back. President Trump out of court and hanging out with Uncle Sam on the campaign trail.
We all believe in the Donald
Trump breaking out of that freezing court icebox, also known as the America's Newsroom studio this morning with Bill Hemmer. But back in the warmth of his supporters, including Uncle Sam, you can see him there. The former president had a rare break from his criminal hush money trial today, and he used that time off to hit the campaign trail in battleground states, Wisconsin and Michigan. A Fox News head-to-head matchup shows Trump holds the advantage in Michigan, and he's tied with Biden in Wisconsin, which is where Trump gave voters one heck of a show today.
Uncle Sam is right here. Look at him. You are perfect. He's in good shape. Thank you, Uncle Sam. Look at this guy.
You think Biden can bend down like that at Uncle Sam?
We're leading virtually every swing state by a lot.
And we're going to make America great again.
Biden has run the government like Robin Hood, essentially in reverse, stealing from the poor and giving it to the rich. And we're going to throw out Bidenomics, and we're going to replace it with
Maganomics.
But isn't it nice to have a president who doesn't need a teleprompter? Not that he can read it anyway.
President Biden is trying to counter the showman Trump by going Hollywood. A new report claims he's working on highly secretive campaign videos in his home state of Delaware. It sounds like it's a big budget flick with high-end video production and extras on the set. And if that doesn't sound Hollywood enough, Steven Spielberg is going to help Biden produce the entire convention that they'll have in August in Chicago. Kevin, one of the things President Trump decided to do today is have a big laser focus on the economic message. We know that you mentioned border security and immigration is one of the top issues, but we also know that the economy is. And he really talked about how Biden is saying that he would let Trump's tax cuts expire and letting that settle into the people's consciousness. So your thoughts on Maganomics and comparing that to Biden?
Yeah, I love to have this narrative without getting into the partisanship about talking about who's running politically to win as president. Taxes, when you raise them, slow growth. It doesn't matter who you are, what party you're in. And right now we've avoided a recession. We had a soft landing, which was engineered by the Fed. It's amazing they did it. The last thing you want to do now, while inflation still is above 3%, is to whack it with more taxes, because when you tax the middle class, that is a form of inflation. Mm-hmm. You leave them with less money to deal with an already inflated cost of food and energy and housing. That's a really, really bad idea. But I get the rhetoric of saying, let's tax the rich, let's make them pay their fair share. You've been listening to that for 200 years. Mm-hmm. That's ever since the first tax came to America. But it doesn't work right now. I'm against changing anything that would cost more to the middle class, because we keep forgetting all the time that 62% of jobs in America are created by small businesses, family businesses in America. They're already struggling with inflation. We got to give them a break. So who's ever president, we got to keep the taxes the way they are. And there's one other aspect here that people got to think about. We're in the G20. We compete with other countries for capital. That's what I do. I run around the world raising capital to bring it here to America. That's what I do. We want to be in the middle in terms of taxation, not at the top end. We don't need to be at the low end, in the middle where we are right now. When we were seeing all this contorting of pharma companies leaving for Ireland 2 decades ago, yeah, is because it wasn't fair. The taxation was too high. Let's not do that to ourselves again. Let's stay exactly where we are. So what I hope happens here, even if Biden wins, is somebody will talk sense into the policy and say, not now. You won. You're president. We're not going to do something stupid to our economy. Mm-hmm. But this should be an election issue. The reason the market's so buoyant, the reason it hangs in here, and you have a little small correction, but there's a 50-50 chance you get better policy for small business and large business in America. And that's because Trump policy is more accommodative for business, less regulation, more support for energy, better in terms of foreign, in terms of what you think about how you have to compete foreign. I think that's why the market's waiting to see what happens.
Trump looked like the happy campaigner. That 2020 was a weird campaign because of COVID. But 2016, he was happy campaigner. He's back out there. How can what you saw today compete with like a Steven Spielberg production?
Well, I think Steven Spielberg is perfect for Joe Biden. He did make Jaws, so he's used to working with a dead fish. And he also did E.T., which, like Joe, is another shriveled creature that can't work a phone. But what's the message here? When you have no measurable success, you need a story. You can't tout the economy, the border, crime, the unity we were promised. So you hire a storyteller to create a narrative that cannot be measured in statistics or prices or body count. So that's what he's trying to do. I just hope Spielberg weaves in the juicy bits, like how Joe's what grandfather was eaten by a cannibal, or he saved 6 people from drowning, or he was arrested in the civil rights movement. Joe Biden makes Forrest Gump sound like a shut-in. I just want to say one last thing about Hollywood. Where were they when the anti-Semites were calling for genocide and celebrating October 7th? Think about this. Mm-hmm. Quentin Tarantino made the movie Inglourious Basterds. It's actually a pretty good movie, starring Brad Pitt, my lookalike, about a team of Jewish soldiers taking out Nazis. It was a fictional movie. So in Hollywood, as long as the Nazis are fictional, they'll fight them. But just a few miles down the road, we'll stay out of it.
Judge, if President Trump holds in all of these battleground states, he will have an electoral college wipeout that would be bigger than his 2016 and Biden's in 2020.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think that America is ready to bring Donald Trump back. I think that now more than ever, Americans are looking at everything from the economy to the state of this country. And they're saying we need someone who's going to fight for us because it's not happening with this guy in the White House. And I have to tell you, Greg, I never thought that you and I overlap a lot on our thoughts. But I'm talking about the same thing. You've got Jeff Katzenberg, who ran Disney and DreamWorks and Hollywood Pictures, and they orchestrated this event at Radio City. You've got Steven Spielberg. You've got Rob Reiner. And what are they doing? They have to create a movie because there is no substance to Joe Biden on his own. He can't do it on his own. And so what they're doing is they're creating their own fiction because the truth of what Joe Biden is doing is not sustainable. He's saying we've got the best economy. He's saying the border is secure, that America's back, America's respected on the world stage. It's all nonsense. Al Jazeera today is cheering about those kids on the universities. And then you've got Putin bombing in the Ukraine. You've got the Taliban running Afghanistan with the weapons that we left there. Israel having its hands tied behind its back. And Xi Jinping is licking his chops. So, they have to create a fiction because the reality doesn't sell.
Jesse, this morning when Biden announced the additional student loans, it was for like art students. And I love art, but is Biden trying to lose?
You'd think so when you look what he's doing. And the American people want certainty, because when you have certainty in your life, it gives you confidence. And then that gives you the ability to go out and do other things. Right now, people aren't certain. they're not going to get their head knocked off when they go in the subway. They're not certain that when they send their kid to school, they're not going to be targeted by haters. There's an expectation that we've always had in America. When you walk around, when you go to work, when you do business, when you go into the boys' room, there's not a girl in there. These things have been taken away from us. And what you see is what you get with Donald Trump. He's raw. He's uncut. We know what to expect with Donald Trump. Joe Biden is a mystery man. You don't ever know where he is. You don't know who's in charge. He's disappeared in Delaware with a Hollywood movie producer. What are they doing to him? Like, there's no certainty with Joe Biden. Anything could happen at any time, and America is tired of living like that.
All right. Up next, President Biden has high hopes for the youth vote with his latest big move on marijuana.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
Joe Biden throwing a Hail Mary, Jane, to win over young voters. I'm sorry, Greg. The administration moving to reclassify marijuana as less dangerous drug, putting weed on the same level as Tylenol with codeine. It's not full legalization, so don't light up yet. Judge,
yes?
Do you think this is political?
Actually, Joe Biden wants it to be political because he's trying to get the young people to vote for him, okay? Abortion isn't enough. Climate change isn't enough. Student loan giveaway isn't enough. Yes, today, I think $6.1 billion additional student loan giveaway. So now he's doing this. But here's the bottom line. I think it's about businesses. I think it's about a tax break, although, Kevin, I'm sure you could talk more about this. It's about this their access to traditional banking. They don't have access to financial services. And in the end, I think it's really a business move. But what I'm concerned about are young people smoking grass. All right, I'm a prosecutor. I get it. I was a judge. I was a narcotics judge. My concern is that when you don't have your prefrontal cortex completely developed, and that's 24, 25 for boys and girls or young men and women, it's a problem with impulse control.
Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a political move, and I look at it from this perspective. The chance that it gets removed off the Schedule I narcotics, where it was put on in the 70s, I think mid-70s, the process to do that takes forever. And so this will never happen before the election. And one of the reasons they've never been able to get capital from institutions, or from me for that matter, is I don't mess with Schedule I narcotics because it's a federal mandate. Sure, you have states that have done this. And by the way, the economics aren't that attractive. Massachusetts did it. California did it. All it does is set up the dealers, make them less hassled by the law because nobody wants to buy their drugs from the government because it's crappy drugs. You get better drugs from the dealer. And that happened in Canada, too. So a lot of these licenses, these companies went bankrupt. They paid millions for them. There's a lot of unintended consequences. Not going to happen anytime soon.
Now, as a dealer, Dana.
It's certainly been my experience that you get better drugs from a dealer. Right. That's what I've experienced, indeed. So it's interesting. This has been a move for a long time by, I think that Obama said he was going to do it. I think they were asking Trump to do it. Biden promised in the 2020 campaign that he would do this, and he was getting some flack because it's almost, what, 3.5 years, and he hasn't gone forward. They said they're studying it. Remember, we've talked about commissions and studies, so they're trying to kick it. I agree. I don't know if it will happen beforehand, but now he can say, I'm trying to get it done. And, you know, it's a great time to be a far-left interest group, because whatever you need, just tell the White House and they'll be able to try to figure it out for you. But I also think that because the states have voted in many places to legalize marijuana, they're trying to figure out a way to make it even. What this really needs is a congressional law. If the Congress wants to get together and pass it and deal with this Schedule I issue, then they could do it. I don't see that necessarily happening, especially in this Congress, but that would be the way to keep it out of the courts.
Greg Gutfeld.
Yeah, you know, I assume this would have been a slam dunk, but, you know, the drugs have changed. The availability of these intense, concentrated levels of THC has made pot even intimidating to regular users. It's not risk-free, but unfortunately, the government only works in two modes. legalize it or ban it. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something kind of in between. And I go back to this, the premise I made here many years ago. Booze is far worse. It just got there first. Mm-hmm. You know, it put down its roots and we accepted the poison as part of our daily lives. Never mind the traffic fatalities, the cirrhosis, the spousal abuse, the aggression of its users. Stoners aren't known for violence, although this new strain of stuff makes people pretty crazy. You can see it on the street. But we accepted the body count of alcohol as a trade-off for our daily oblivion. I don't see pot these days as being risk-free. And the jury's still out on the schizophrenic data. But, you know, it's a different pot of fish.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
I don't.
America's buzzing over its new national hero, B-Man.
Okay, everyone.
Living in the east, stowing away the time.
I love this story, and welcome back. A swarm of bees delaying last night's baseball game between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers after thousands of little buzzers emerged from a nest behind home plate. All hope was lost until the brave beekeeper came to the rescue to clear them out. And becoming a hero to nearly 30,000 fans in attendance, they gave him a huge ovation. After he stuck around to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, which is tough to do after you've saved the world. Judge, what do you think?
Well, I think he's a hero. And I think that I think we should probably have a parade, a ticker tape parade, and just make sure that there are no bees around. Mm-hmm.
Jesse?
The man's a stud, and he has a great arm. But I think 2 hours to get there was too long. I have a beekeeper on standby at my property, and it's like a maintenance contract. So they're within 30 minutes, they're there. Bees
Dana,
are gone.
I know you have a soft spot for little bees.
I thought he was a real character. Well, did you hear the good news that there's been apocalyptic news about bees for several years, but all of a sudden the bees are back, and in a big way, and even going to see the baseball game. It's pretty good.
Greg, don't you love it?
I do. Idea for Shark Tank. Okay? So, sharks, it's a beautiful day at the winery, and you're working on your buzz. Then your day is stung by unwanted visitors. Do you wing it, or do you run and hide? No, you put on this portable beekeeper onesie. It's 100% biodegradable, made in America. 10% goes to the rainforest. We're asking $10 million for 1%. Who's willing to make money like bees make honey? I brought a sample. I brought a sample of some bees.
Do not give up your day job. And for that reason, I am out.
Yeah. Very good.
I always wanted to do that.
Oh, you did it.
One more thing, okay? Ready for this? It's up next.
One more thing, Dana.
Okay, quick thing here. The Fallen Journalists Memorial Foundation announced last week that there was a formation of a White House Press Secretary's Committee in support of the memorial. I worked with Dee Dee Myers. Dee Dee was the first woman press secretary. She worked for Bill Clinton. And we were able to get signatures from press secretaries dating from the Johnson administration all the way through the Biden administration. Foundation was launched on June 28th, 2019. And there's going to be this memorial. You can see it there. To honor fallen journalists. And so it was fun to work with everybody there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right, my turn. Let's do this. Okay, tonight, one more time. Kennedy, Jamie Lissau, Cat Tip, Lee Zeldin.
I think I saw this show.
No. This was bumped last night, but it's a great one, so watch it. Hey, let's do this. All right.
Why can't I hear?
Guess the animal sounds. I'm going to play the animal sounds. So we're going to go around the table. And, okay, we'll start with Dana then. Okay, play.
What? I need that again.
What?
Oh, gosh. I think it's a warthog.
That's it?
Yes, that's it. Just keep listening.
Anteater.
Kevin?
Warthog.
Warthog?
An emu?
It was. Let's roll the tape. It was a walrus at the Point Defiant Zoo and Aquarium in Tacoma, Washington, and it was both making singing noises and farting at the same time.
That was my second choice.
I love it when animals fart.
Shut up.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Judge.
Oh. Okay. Enzo is a Nevada police canine who was stabbed multiple times while helping take down a criminal. Luckily, the only blood bank for dogs in Nevada was able to supply him with blood and plasma to save his life. Enzo was so thankful to all the doggy donors who helped save him, and he is now home safe. And I just want you to know that tonight I will be on the Ingram Angle.
Oh, yeah.
There's no truth to the rumor that Kristi Noem was seen leaving the crime scene. Kevin, you got 30 seconds.
A 27-year-old man struck gold and diamonds when he snagged two pairs of $14,000 earrings for just 14 apiece. The French designer, which is Cartier, made a mistake. Yep. And, of course, when they realized the error, they tried to give him something free, like a little leather bag. He said, no, no, Nanette, I want the real thing. And the brand did the right thing and gave him those $14,000. I love Cartier.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.